It's not very often when sports, movies, television, music live up to the hype when the hype is at an all-time high. But we got that in this finale of the World Baseball Classic between the Japanese team and the American national team. An unbelievable ending, something that only happens in the movies. And we're going to break down kind of the impact that we saw of the World Baseball Classic in the world of baseball, in Major League Baseball, and kind of what the pundits, the fans are all talking about here on the Sports Cubicle with the Marvelous One, Dan Marver, Devin Tingle, Paul Shavari. I'm Mike Mercado. And Paulie, it came down to it. We all talked about it. It was something that the internet was a-buzzing, hoping that we would get the moment where Shohei Ohtani would be pitching against Mike Trout. And it came down to that moment after a rally from Japan to win another, their third World Baseball Classic. And, you know, then the memes came out of, imagine if these two players played with each other on the same team. So much to unpack. We had underdog stories. We had great human stories. We had controversy. So much from even political controversy of Cuban players in Miami. Why they didn't want the Cuban team to be playing out west and they kept them over east. So much intrigue of Major League Baseball injuries in the World Baseball Classic. We got to the ending. Your final thoughts of the entire journey with all that in our sports stew. How do you feel coming out of this World Baseball Classic that really has impacted the sport?
This is the fifth one that they've ever done. Easily the best one. Easily. Can you even name me a memory from the previous four?
No.
And not just like, oh, I remember the chant. Can you name me a memory? The rally banana? That's all I got. And maybe Adam Jones, I think, robbed a home run. And then we met Daisuke Matsuzaka and Yu Darvish. That's about it for the previous four. That's all I've got. This was hands down the best. We got Trey Turner's Grand Slam. And then, you know, of course, the Hollywood ending. Ohtani strikes out Trout. I pulled my family downstairs for it. And like, they were happy to do it. Like, oh, Dad's going to get us to watch baseball. All right, here we go. But everyone walked away from that being like, oh, my gosh, thank you for interrupting my life to show me that. Like, I remember knocking on my son's door, like, let's go to the ninth inning. Trout's going to be the third batter. You got to come and say, oh, my gosh, you know, running out of his room to go see it. Everyone enjoyed it. It was great. It was the way it should have gone down. Hollywood ending. The games were exciting all the way through, and this is probably going to be the last time we ever see non-pitch clock baseball, and everyone loved it. And I know all the old heads, including me, are like, see, you don't need a pitch clock. At the same time, these games meant more than a mid-season game, but I think if anything, this tournament taught us the playoffs, the Major League Baseball playoffs should not have a pitch clock. They should not. There should be shifting. There should be at least maybe the World Series, you know, because when baseball has a chance to breathe and be good and one game is under the microscope, there's nothing that beats that.
I think it's important to also recognize where I'm somebody who's all for the rule changes. I also love the atmosphere, the teams. It was a different product than you're going to see, let's say, in July, especially if your team is bad. Mm-hmm. You're not going to see that type of atmosphere. But I think it's also important where other professional sports change their rules for circumstances. Mm-hmm. The NFL rules in the regular season aren't the same in the playoffs. There's rules that change. In Major League Baseball, it could be the same thing. 162 games is totally different than game one of the divisional series.
But I think the way it stands is everything that's in the regular season is going to be in the postseason.
This is where baseball, I think, has always lacked compared to other sports. It's the fluidity of it. They're never, the league, the Players Association are never able to kind of go with the flow. The NFL and the NBA will make up rules as it goes along. Be like, yeah, this is better for the product. We're going to go do this. And sometimes then they make corrections. And I think that's important where we saw in this World Baseball Classic, at its best, no matter whether there's a pitch clock or not, at its best, baseball can be that. I think the sport itself has made it a regional thing, has put itself in that position where it's kind of hands on its seat type of fan bases and atmospheres, unless the special occasions. But when you let the players be themselves, you let the drama play out, it's great television. And at the end of the day, even though we talk about sports and you've seen politics adopt this, it's still TV. And on some form, our little lizard brains want to make it entertainment. We need entertainment. Mm-hmm. And baseball shows at its best, no matter what the rules say, when it's at that type of level, when it's that type of competitiveness, and it has that vibe to it, it can be great.
And baseball has that unique, you know, guy versus guy, player A versus player B, you know, where, you know, this time it was Ohtani versus Trout. But sometimes it's like when two guys are chirping at each other through the media and it's like, well, they play in different divisions. They play in different leagues. They don't know. It doesn't always come up. But then when one's on the mound and one's in the batter's box, 100%. everything's all cleared away and they get to face each other. Baseball is the only sport that really has that. I mean, sure, you have, you know, Lawrence Taylor breaking Joe Theismann's leg, even though there wasn't like a rivalry there. Yeah. You have maybe that, but that's the luck of if they get to face each other. Basketball kind of has that, but baseball, mano y mano, right in that moment, man versus man.
You're 100% right, because in football, it's normally quarterback versus quarterback, and they never go against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And in the NBA, unless it's the last 4 or 5 minutes where your best player is going to go against my best player, and we're just going to see how that kind of breaks down.
And even then, does that always work out, though? I mean, did you ever want Shaq to play against Jordan?
Right.
I mean, in ISO, that wouldn't make
the
sense.
The positions of it make it a little bit weird dynamic. I think for baseball, it is that theater of Clayton Kershaw versus Aaron Judge can happen in a World Series.
Yep.
And that's a real thing that really does do stuff for the imagination that other sports can't. And baseball has the benefit of it's the one sport where it cares about its history while you're playing it. You can make history. You're playing against history. It's kind of like the Olympics when you have like these speed swimmers or runners where they're not only going against the field, they're going against their old records, the world records, the Olympic records, whatever the case may be. Baseball's like that. Hitters are going after certain records. Pitchers are going after certain records. And we celebrate them so much more in baseball than we do any other sport. Running backs don't care about who leads the all-time rushing leader.
Barry Sanders apparently did.
And that's great. But, like, do you think that makes any difference to Marshall Faulk?
No.
But it matters in baseball who has the most home runs, who has the most wins, who has the most... Because, again, then it goes into the Hall of Fame and what HOF means in the baseball world, specifically in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about jackets in the NFL, but in baseball, it's about being in the Hall of Fame. And I think that's why the World Baseball Classic kind of was all that put together. The real interesting thing is somebody like me who's cynical sometimes about the sport I love, there are going to be people who are going to say, well, how do you capitalize on that heading into April? You can't.
No.
You can't. It's just, it's sorry, everybody. Whether you love the new rules or hate it, it doesn't matter. It's just, it can't be the same. Because April 3rd can't feel like March 3rd, whatever.
Well,
you know?
These are all best of ones. Yes. And you know, we had to listen to how many people complain about how the wild card was a best of one and how that's not fair.
We'll get into the complaining. But
let's take away the best of one and the excitement of those games, the way they were played. And you look at just the way these countries all around the world, how they get behind baseball versus the United States. It's a party-like atmosphere. There's drums, there's horns, there's people like in unison dancing and whatnot. And
food,
you know, well, and like
music.
I mean, you know, I know the playoffs are exciting for baseball, but if it's like June and like a Red Sox Yankees rivalry, you know, it's just like, yeah, strikeout.
Sweet Caroline.
Yeah, that sort of thing, you know. So I think, and I think you can't organically create that right away here. I think that's got to be bred, you know, through generations in order to have the United States get behind baseball the way that Asia and Latin America do. But at the same time, I love the World Baseball Classic for the chance that you see that. Everyone's kind of, you know, in the petri dish of this is what the world looks like. This is how the world reacts when they come together for baseball. And I love that it mattered, because I feel like in past World Baseball Classics,
didn't really matter.
And this is the first time I can remember, like, people really cared about this that normally don't care about it.
And it may, because they cared about it. The players did. It's like a music performance or an acting performance or a wrestling performance where it's like, you know that the person behind that cared. They believed in the lines that they were delivering. They believe in the lyric that they were singing. They believe in the action they were taking. In this, you saw every pitch and at bat that mattered.
And that was part of it, too, the amount of star power for every team. I think,
100%.
You know, when this thing started back in 2006, I don't remember too many stars coming out to play. I remember stars ducking it.
Yes.
And I remember, you know, kind of the specialized treatment, guys that didn't really get into games as much. You didn't get these big moments. But this time around, you had the stars talking about, man, I can't believe guys don't want to do this. I can't believe. And I understand Aaron Judge was one example where he didn't want to do it because he said he's more focused on winning a ring with the Yankees than he, and that's understandable.
And you just got a big contract, so like you want to, it's
and
optics.
He's coming off the season that he just had.
Yes.
I mean, you know, who knows, maybe in 3 years he'll come back and you know, maybe he'll be a champion with the Yankees. He'll come back in 2026 and say, all right, now is my time to win for my country.
But seeing Trey Turner there was awesome, and Tim Anderson, and these guys who are going to get paid, who are superstars, exposing.
And even the guys getting injured, you know, I think it's such a weak take to say, you know, guys.
Get into that.
Yeah, okay. So
get into that.
The biggest one was Keith Olbermann.
Yes.
Which, you know, like, reserve your thoughts on Keith Olbermann. But
I love as that the him and Dan Patrick, you know, we don't have to say, but like
the
obviously
big show.
We get it.
Yeah,
like,
the big show.
But
so
like,
nice,
it doesn't mean he's not valuable for stupid things like this.
But I mean, you know, and his thing was, you know, trying to be edgy or funny by saying, you know, based on where your grandma got laid. And like, look, I get the loose restrictions of who gets to play for who.
Sure. This is,
I learned that Lars Nootbaar has Japanese heritage. That's neat.
That's kind of fun.
You know, I wasn't born in Japan. I don't think he was ever raised Japanese, but that doesn't matter. Team Japan wanted him to play for him. So who cares what Keith Olbermann thinks?
I'm dropping his name right now on the spot, but he robbed a home run for Team Mexico.
Okay. Oh, or Rosarena, Randy Rosarena.
When you find out his story,
Cuban born. And I don't think he's a Mexican citizen
yet. But he's going to be.
He's trending towards that.
Find out his story, you're like, you don't get that story unless this happens. Like it's and Mexico has absolutely adored and claimed them now. It's kind of like Lupita Nyong'o. You know, it's like
and
that amazing.
Mexico, and you and I have kind of talked about this off the air. Of like, you know, I think you know, with even though baseball's not you know in the forefront of Mexican culture, it's still huge in Mexico. And I think it was neat to see people kind of writing off Mexico in this tournament, but they were fighting all the way until the end and were one of the better teams in this whole tournament. So, you know, there's that too. You know, there was the kid from Nicaragua that struck out like Juan Soto and Gleyber Torres, and he gets a minor league contract with the Tigers. You know, so I think it was just neat to see how certain teams kind of stepped up when it was their time to shine, you know, including Shohei, of course.
Who got struck out by a contractor from the Czech Republic.
Yeah,
it was like a amazing
and
stories.
Then he's wearing the Czech Republic hat the next day, you know, so it's that type of thing, you know. And even then, I think he got struck out by like an Australian pitcher too that was kind of breaking down his at bat and it was just such an amazing tournament. But I want to get back to Olbermann, though.
Please, yeah.
You know, just how we're talking about the injuries. And he's going, oh, first Freddie Freeman. Well, Freddie Freeman's fine. He's going to be okay. He's going to make the opening day start. And then, of course,
Edwin Diaz.
Thank you. And yeah, that's sad. That's tragic. But at the same time, he could have gotten hurt in spring training. I know he wouldn't have been jumping up and down after a victory or knowing, you know, they don't really have save situations in spring training. It probably would have been like the third inning and then go take a shower.
But that type of injury?
Like, injuries happen, though.
And that
this,
type?
And this is the whole, I was saying this when Adam Wainwright, that one year that he tore his ACL getting out of the batter's box or whatever. And people are like, see, this is why pitchers shouldn't hit. This is why pitchers shouldn't hit. And it's like, yeah, but they're on a mound taking like 90 mile an hour fastballs to the face.
That's not the reason.
That's not the reason. I've seen guys get hurt both ways that way. So it's like injuries are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We never had the benefit of the Olympics, the Major League Baseball shutting down for the Olympics ever since professional players are able to play. This is what you get. The World Baseball Classic is our Olympics on the world stage. It's our World Cup. And I loved every single second of it. I wish I could have been up at 5 in the morning a little bit more. I know that I like baseball better than soccer, but I made more of an effort to wake up for the World Cup in the morning than I did for the World Baseball Classic.
But it's also the World Cup.
But I think part of it, too, is the World Cup. It was like you could start your day at 4 or 5 in the morning, and it would end around 2 or 3 in the afternoon. Whereas this, it's like, oh, man, I stayed up till midnight last night watching you know,
still baseball
in Arizona. Yeah. Now I got to wake up in four hours and watch it in Taipei. So, but I mean, I loved it. And then, of course, I think Chris Mad Dog Russo.
And I like Doggy. I know you're not the biggest fan of him.
No,
but
I'm not a fan of his. And I think, what was his take on it? He had such a, he was saying that because Trout strikes out so much that, you know, big whoop. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, this was the moment everyone wanted to see. I was bummed going into the game knowing that Ohtani wasn't going to start.
Yeah,
so, like, it's almost even better that he came in to save the game.
It worked itself out.
But what Mad Dog Russo is completely glossing over is that I think there's only been 29 games in Trout's career where he's had three swing and misses and an at bat.
That's crazy.
So it's something like that. Something crazy.
That's insane, though, when you think about that. Mm-hmm. Like, the best baseball player of his generation, like, that's not even a
three swing and misses. Not like, I've personally seen him have a golden sombrero.
But that's not the same as.
It's not the same as three swing and misses. And that was a great at bat. That was a really great at bat.
That means somebody got the best of him.
Yes.
Like, that's not.
But I mean, like, did you see those pitches?
Oh, yeah, the last one was
100 mile an hour laser beams right down the middle and like 89 mile an hour sliders. And we're sitting at home, you know, me and my kid who's into baseball, and my wife and my other kid who's not into baseball as much, and we're breaking down every pitch. Like, what do you think he's going to throw here? What will you do in this at bat? You know, like, it was just so exciting, and I don't think we'll ever get that again. And honestly, I was saying in the instant, and I will stand by this, probably a top 10 baseball moment in my lifetime.
Absolutely, and it is why when the argument is, would you rather have three players or one Shohei? I'm like, well, you give me the three players who are top 10 in both positions. And I'll tell you, somebody over
as
Shohei.
Far as building a team, I love watching a Shohei. I don't know if I would build a team around a Shohei. But either way, we are so blessed.
Because
there was another thing, too. I forgot whose dumb take it was. I think it was Olbermann. When Shohei got signed, it was like his first spring training.
Yes.
And someone was talking about how excited they were. And this, he's like, oh, this guy's batting 100 and has an ERA of 6. And it's spring training. Like, he never even gave the guy a chance. It's like, it almost feels to me like Olbermann is rooting for Shohei to lose, and it's too late.
It's
way too late.
I learned two things from this World Baseball Classic. One, the WBC is awesome when everybody's into it. And two, Shohei is worth every dollar, whether it works out for you or not.
Yep.
He's worth every dollar of admission and of contract. But with that, it was an awesome journey watching it with you, talking with you, this World Baseball Classic. Hopefully, it comes back even stronger. There's even more stars. And we'll see how baseball is able to use this momentum. It's not going to be April 1st. It's not going to be this coming up Thursday. It's not going to be that. But we'll see long-term, years to come, how it impacted
baseball. We have a season to preview.
We sure do, guys. It is upon us. Can you believe we have finally... Games will matter in just a few days. We want to know your thoughts. The games sure as heck mattered over at the World Baseball Classic. They're about to matter right here in good old Major League Baseball. We want to know your thoughts in the entire entirety of the World Baseball Classic and our season coming up. We're on Twitter at SportsCubicleTV. It's the Marvelous One, Dan Marver. It's Devin Tingle. It's Paul Shavari. I'm Mike Mercado.
Got 7 seconds to get in the box.